We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 10 today. And as you flip over there, several years ago, actually before we even moved to Cincinnati, Brady was probably three at the time, we had gone to Chicago to visit my brother-in-law, who live on the west side of Chicago, about an hour from downtown. And so we had made a plan to go downtown on a Saturday. And we were going to be adventurous, and we were going to take the train downtown instead of driving down, and we were just going to take the train. And so this was exciting for our kiddos. And so we meet up at the train station, and the ticket window is not open. So I'm thinking, well, great, what are we going to do? And my brother-in-law, who's a pro of this lifestyle, says, no worries, we'll just buy the ticket on the train from the conductor. I'm like, all right. So we get on the train, and we've been riding for 25, 30 minutes before, and there's no conductor. And I'm looking like, where is he? I need to pay him a ticket. Like, they're going to throw me off this train. And so finally, the conductor shows up, and we tell him where we got on, where we're headed, and where we want to go in our return trip. And so he takes out his little ticket pad and starts just punching holes in that ticket like it was his job, and he knew what he was doing. And so he gives him the money, gives us the tickets. And so now we're good. I can rest easy, and we can enjoy the day. And we had a great day, and we had a big adventure. We went downtown, we explored skyscrapers, and we rode the water taxi, and we went to different parks, and we ate good food, and we did all these things. And in part, we were able to do that because our ticket had been punched. We were able to get off and get on at the right places because our ticket had been punched. You see, life as a follower of Jesus is meant to be an adventure. The very premise of it is out of this world. It's a God of the universe who desires to have a personal relationship with you, one in which He desires to express His love for you, one in which He works in your life to help you become everything that He's designed you to be. That's why we sing about being the canvas in the clay. Why? Because He's not done. He's working in your life, and He wants to develop you and to mold you into who He designed you to be. It's also one in which we encounter all that He has for us as we step into next, as He leads us and as He guides us, as He gives us instruction. So the title of today's message is just that, Stepping Into Next. Last week we looked at the first half of chapter 10 in which God communicates to Saul through his mouthpiece Samuel that Saul is going to be the king of Israel. This was an earth-shattering word because there had never been a king of Israel. Up until this point, God was the king of Israel. And so He delivers this message to Saul. He knew that it would be an earth-shaking, earth-shattering word to him. And so He gives him three confirmations that day. He said, these three things are going to happen today, and each one of them will be a sign that this was actually a word from the Lord. So today, we continue in that part of the story, looking at about how Saul responds to this word from the Lord, this assignment that God has given him. How does he respond? And so let's read together. We'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 10, starting in verse 14. It says that Saul's uncle said to him and to his servant, "Where did you go?" And he said, "To seek the donkeys." And when they saw that they were not to be found, we went to Samuel. Saul's uncle said, "Please tell me what Samuel said to you." And Saul said to his uncle, "He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but about the matter of the kingdom of which Samuel had spoken, he did not tell him anything." Now Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah, and he said to the people of Israel, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought you up, Israel, out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the land of the Egyptians and from the hand of the kingdoms that were oppressing you. But today you have rejected your God, who saved you from all your calamities and your distresses. You've said to him, 'Set a king over us.' Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands." Verse 20 says, "Then Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near. The tribe of Benjamin was taken by a lot. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its clans, and the clan of the Matrites was taken by lot. Saul, the son of Kish, was taken by lot. But when they sought him, he could not be found. So they inquired again of the Lord, 'Is there a man still to come?' And the Lord said, 'Behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. So they ran and they took him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? There's none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted, "Long live the king!" Then Samuel told the people the rights and the duties of the kingship. He wrote them in a book. He laid it up before the Lord. Then Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his home. Saul also went to his home at Gibeah, and with him went men of valor whose hearts God had touched. But some worthless fellows said, "How can this man save us?" And they despised him. They brought him no present, but he held his peace. So our big idea this morning from the back half of 1 Samuel chapter 10, as we talk about stepping into the next, is that a major part of following God involves stepping into next. See, the premise of a relationship with God is that He speaks and we respond. That He shares and we follow. He gives instruction and we are obedient. And so if we're here today and we've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, then our response to His leading and to His instruction ought to be a regular yes. To step into what He has for me next ought to be my default. It should be what I'm known for. That's how people should be able to tell that I'm a follower of Jesus, because I follow Him through being obedient. And I step into whatever it is He has for me next. But stepping begins with hearing. The first half of this chapter, we see Saul receive and hear this message. That was an out-of-this-world message. You're going to be the king of Israel. What we see in the second half, which is the passage we look at today, is what does he do with what he hears? It's not just enough to hear. I then also have to step. I cannot step without hearing, but I can hear and not step. And what we see here from Saul is that there is an hesitation to step into what God has got for him next. And so let's look at that connection between hearing and then doing. Let's look at three observations from this passage about stepping into next. The first one is this. Part of stepping into next is telling someone else. And we see that in verses 14, 15, and 16. So remember, the story begins with Saul. He comes on the scene because he's looking for the donkeys that belong to his father that have gone off. They've lost them. He goes out and he's looking to find them. So while he was out, he has this interaction with Samuel, who gives him this word that he's going to be the king of Israel. He encounters the three sources of confirmation, the three signs that God does to let him know that it was actually a word from the Lord. And this is him arriving home. So when he arrives home, his uncle says, "Hey, where you been? What you been up to?" And he says, "Well, I was out looking for my father's donkeys." And he lets him know that he has this encounter with Samuel while he was out and about. And in this moment, the uncle's ears perk up. Why would the uncle's ears perk up? Because Samuel was the most famous person in the entire nation of Israel. So instantly he's like, "Whoa, you talked to Samuel? You got to tell me. What did he say? What was he sharing with you about?" So Samuel tells him, but he leaves out the headline. He tells him, "He told us that the donkeys were found and that they would be okay." But he fails to communicate the lead. He buries the lead and he makes no mention of the fact that Samuel, God's mouthpiece in our nation, whose word spreads from one side to the other, has informed me that I'm going to be the king of Israel. He leaves that part out. He tells part of the story, but he doesn't tell all of the story. Saul fails to mention the most important part of the message. You see, failing to tell others what God has instructed you to do can be a detriment to stepping into next. Now, you don't have to tell everybody everything, but there is a connection between your willingness to talk about it and your willingness to be about it, to step and actually do it. If I'm not willing to even talk about it, then the likelihood is I'm not going to be very willing to walk in it. And so it's not that you've got to share all the business that God's teaching you and sharing you with each and everybody, but there's got to be a willingness to be able to share what it is God's telling you and what He's leading for you. So I'll give you an example of where maybe that message is for you and not for everybody else. Before we moved to Cincinnati, we were going through the church planter assessment process, and the last thing you do is a two-day series of interviews. It's typically in person. That year was 2020, so COVID was still in effect, and they did it online instead of doing it in person. So the very first thing we do is we get on a Zoom call with all the other candidates and folks who were trying to get assessed and get a green light to go and plant a church somewhere around the country. And so they only brought us together as a whole group for just a little while. And the guy that was leading the retreat says, look, I want you to be on the lookout. Have your antenna up for God moments over the next 2 days. God's going to speak to some of you about some things that he's never told you before. He's going to reveal some things to you. He's going to show you something, or something's going to happen. So be ready. Have your antenna up. So over the course of the next 2 days, especially that first day, I had three interviews, and they were at different times through the day. And so I got done with one of the interviews, and in one of those interviews, I was having a conversation with a guy who brought up an idea and an aspect of church planting as it pertained to our location and where God might lead us to plant in the city of Cincinnati that had never been on my radar before. It was something I hadn't even considered for 1 second. And I was like, huh, this might be my thing. And so I told Mandy about it. I was like, I may have just had my God moment. So the next morning for day two, we all get back together on this Zoom call for just a few minutes. And the guy who's leading it says, all right, so does anybody want to share some of their God moments from yesterday? Things that happened and that he spoke to you about, do we want to share? And so while we're sitting there on the Zoom call, Mandy kind of bumps me on the leg and is like, you should tell him. And I was like, no, I'm not going to tell him. And so the next person shares, and then he's like, anybody else? And she bumps me on the leg. She's like, you going to tell him? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to tell him. And so we finally get off that call. The moment ends, and we move on to our next thing. And she said, well, why didn't you tell him? I said, well, it's not for them. I'm not sure it's for me, but I know it's not for them. And so until I know a little more, I'm going to hold on. So fast forward a year, and as we've picked this area of Cincinnati to be our spot, as I began to meet some of the different pastors in the area, this theme, this thing that was brought up during the assessment, this word from the Lord, begins to come up in every conversation that I was having. And so along the way, I communicated this word a couple of times to different people. But when the time was right, it was then time to then begin to talk about it. So there's sometimes where it's not for everybody all at the same time. The reason why I didn't think it was for everybody at that moment was because two of the people that were on that call are the leaders of the Send Network in Cincinnati. And I felt like if I were to offer this up in this moment, they would respond and say, well, tell you what, we have some areas that fit that criteria. Why don't you go look at these areas? And I didn't want that to influence where God was leading us. So in a more of a confirming way, we held on to it. And when the time was right, God began to bring it up on his own. And that helped us know that we were where we were supposed to be. And so sometimes God's going to share stuff with you. And there's got to be a willingness to talk about it, but it doesn't mean that you have to tell everybody everything all the time. But when the time is right and when God brings it up, we've got to be willing to talk about it. Because if we're not willing to talk about it, then we're probably not going to be willing to walk it out and to be about it. You see, there's something important about sharing when the time is right. Telling others brings accountability. Once we say it out loud, then there's an expectation that we're going to move in that direction, that we're going to try to do that. Once we picked Anderson Township as our planting community, there was a little bit of hesitancy for me at first. I didn't want to say it out loud because the moment we say it out loud, people are going to expect us to actually do it. And we were picking a place that wasn't going to be the easiest one to move to, and maybe we couldn't afford to be there. And so I was nervous, and there was a hesitancy to say it because once we say it out loud, there's a level of accountability. But telling others is important because it also brings encouragement. People are able to speak into what's going on and where God's leading you once they know what he's doing and where he's leading you. It's also important because it brings help. Just want to remind us today in this place, especially the ladies in the room, that people are not mind readers. No. Turns out, we can't tell what's going on in the hearts and the minds and the souls of other people unless it is communicated. And so there are people who God has placed around you who could be a source of help and a source of encouragement, and they will never know what's going on unless we're willing to tell and loop them in. And as we loop them in about what God is asking us to do, he will then move in their hearts to help them be a part of the journey. That happened for us when we moved to Cincinnati. We experienced all three of those. As we began to tell people that God was calling us to move to Cincinnati to start a church, there was a level of accountability there. Because if you start telling people that you're going to move to a city to plant a church, and you don't move to that city to plant a church, it gets awkward real fast. They're like, you're still here. Why are you still here? I thought you were moving. Yeah, well, it's awkward. So there's a level of accountability. You start saying it, then you got to be about it. There was also a source of encouragement. One of the greatest things that happened is we began to tell people, some of the folks in our lives that we trust and we revere and we for their wisdom and their role in our life, and be able to tell them, hey, this we think God's calling us to do this. And their responses were such a source of encouragement. Things like, yeah, I see that. That doesn't surprise me at all. I think that's exactly, that makes total sense to me. I totally see that. Those words of encouragement were huge in that season of life. But then there was also the opportunity for help. Once we began letting people know where God was leading us, there was an invitation to invite them into the process and allow them to be a part of the help. You see, an unwillingness to share where God is leading you precursors an unwillingness to step in that same direction. So the first truth we see is that part of stepping into next is telling other people. A second observation that we see is that stepping in the next allows you to be on the correct side of God's activity. So Saul tells his uncle about his encounter with Samuel. He doesn't tell all of it. So now Samuel gets involved. Samuel has declared to Saul that he's going to be the king of Israel. Samuel's now going to declare to the entire nation that Saul's going to be the first king of Israel. So he gathers the nation together. And he makes a declaration that Saul is going to be king. And they also did it by casting lots. And this was a way for God to be the one that was picking. So it wasn't Samuel picking him. They were doing it so that everybody knew that it was God who had picked Saul to be king. And so when they declare him as king and they go to present him, they cannot find him, for he is hiding in the luggage. He's hanging out with the animals, with the pack mules, trying to stay out of sight. I think he's hiding because he didn't want the assignment. Not only did he think it was over his head and more than he was capable of, but I think it was a little more than that. I think it was the idea that he didn't want to do it. Why not? Because he wasn't a spiritual person. Remember when his servant said, well, maybe you should go talk to the man of God about where the donkeys are. And he's like, who? What are you talking about? I have no idea what you're like. If we get this picture of him that he's not a spiritual person, that he doesn't care about the things of God, that he's just living life. Even his uncle, when he got back, the moment he heard he had talked to Samuel, he was like, tell me what he said. Why? Because Samuel's a big deal. He represents God. He speaks on God's behalf. Tell me what he said. But you don't ever see that from Saul. Saul's like, even when he met Samuel, he didn't know it was him. He's like, could you direct me to the man of God? And he's like, that's me. You found him. I'm here. And he just at every turn doesn't want it. And so you just get this sense that he doesn't want this assignment either. And that's why he's hiding in the luggage. Now there's a difference between being overwhelmed by God's instruction and not wanting to do his instruction. And we could get both of those from Saul, but I think it's more that he didn't want to do it. It's a normal reaction to be overwhelmed by God's message that you're going to become the king. Nobody's going to fault him for feeling that. Everybody would have felt that. There was not even a mental construct for them having a king. So it wasn't like he could look back and go, well, I can follow the example of somebody else. Well, there's never been another example. So yeah, the overwhelming nature of it would, in that moment, of course, and there would be fear that he would have about not knowing and what it's going to be like. But fear can lead to hesitation. And of course, there would be unanswered questions. Who knows how to do it and what needs to be done? But those unanswered questions can lead to stationary living. It can cause you to stay exactly where you're at. And the reality is that if I'm going to follow God, it's not okay to stay in that place. It's okay to feel overwhelmed. It's not okay to stay there. It's okay to have unanswered questions, but it's not okay to stay there. I've got to continue to step. And the way I continue to step is through faith in God. That's how we get moving. It's how we get stepping. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, he talks about this faith. He says, faith is the assurance of things that are hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So if we were to lay that definition of faith over Saul, what it would have been was saying, I'm overwhelmed, but I'm still going to do it because you've called me to, so I'm going to trust you, you're going to help me. I have 100 questions that I'd like to have answered, but even if you don't answer, I'm still going to be obedient. I'm not going to go hide. I'm going to step into what it is you have for me. A few verses later in chapter 11 of Hebrews, he says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You see, living by faith is the game. That's the deal. That's what you sign up for if you choose to believe in Jesus through faith. Is that for the rest of your life, you're going to get to exercise your faith muscle. He's going to ask you to go and step into things that are going to require faith. You've got to trust him. Even though you can't see what he's doing, even though you can't see where he's leading you, you keep stepping because you trust. Faith keeps us stepping in the face of fear and unanswered questions. And so I wonder for us right now, what are the things that we're hiding from? What are the things that God's asking you to do? And instead of stepping into it, you're hiding in the luggage hoping that he's going to ask somebody else. You're hoping that maybe he'll change his mind or he'll invite someone else to do it. What's that thing that he's been putting on your heart and you've just been, not yet, time's not right, not the right season of life, whatever the thing may be. And essentially, we're hiding out hoping it's going to pass over, hoping he's going to ask somebody else. Now, failing to step doesn't mean that God's not going to use you. We see that in verse 19. But what it does mean is that you're going to be on the wrong side of his activity. So in verse 19, a striking verse, he makes the declaration that Saul's going to be the king, and the declaration is also an indictment on the nation of Israel. Let's read it again. In verse 19, he's standing before the nation. He says, today you have rejected your God. There's the indictment. He's the one who saves you from all your calamities and your distresses. And you have said to him, set a king over us. So therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And we already know, because what we looked at the last couple of weeks, that God in his graciousness is going to work through King Saul. He's going to deliver Israel from the Philistines. He's going to do some good things. But there's also going to be negative things. There's going to be consequence that comes because they've rejected God as their king. So the same thing happens with our obedience or our disobedience. God can still work in the midst of us being disobedient. The deal is we don't get to be in a part of the blessing of his activity. We don't get in on the adventure part. He can work in the midst of us getting it wrong, but there's a whole different experience if we get it right. You see, we assume that if God invites us into his activity and we were to choose to say no, that it's a neutral outcome, that maybe nothing actually really happens. He's invited me in, he's given me instruction, he's told me something to do, and if I decline and go, yep, not right now, then maybe nothing happens. And I just wait until the next thing comes. But the reality is this, that anytime I say no to him, I'm being disobedient. And disobedience always brings a negative outcome. And we're going to see that in the life of Saul. That he eventually becomes king because they find him hiding in the luggage. He was being disobedient. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He wasn't stepping into what God had called him into. And so he becomes king. But a lot of hard and bad things happen as he is king. So the way that we ensure that we are used for God's purpose is to willingly step through faith into what he's put in front of us. So part of stepping in the next is I've got to tell other people what God's leading me into. Another part is that stepping in the next allows you to be on the correct side of God's activity. And then the third and final thing we see in this passage is that God gives support as you step into next. So Samuel, before the nation of Israel, presents Saul as king. He then explains the rules and the expectations of this king. They're all doing this for the first time. This nation's never had a king. He's never been king. And so God, through Samuel, says, here's how this is going to work. He writes it all down in the book, and he sends everybody on their way. He sends them home. Even King Saul goes home. But it says that he does not go home alone. Look at verse 26. Saul also went to his home at Gibeah, and with him went men of valor whose hearts had been touched by God. Now that word valor is important. It means able, strong, brave. These men go back to Gibeah with Saul. Why? Because God had stirred in their heart. So when King Saul essentially is not stepping into next, would rather do anything but what God's called him to do, God immediately stirs in the heart of a group of men who immediately step into next. He stirred in my heart to go with the king. I'm going to go with the king. I'm going to go protect the king and be a part of the king and support the king. God is gracious to give us support as we step into what is next. He doesn't just direct, He also supports. And He supports you as a step of expression of His graciousness. He will supply what you need to be able to step into next. We get no greater expression of this idea than when God supplies salvation to mankind. Separated from God because of our sin, having committed sin against God, doing something that was less than His standard. In Ephesians, it talks about trespass. The idea that I would go somewhere that I'm not supposed to be, that I've done something I'm not supposed to do. One sin separates me from a holy and an almighty God. And that one sin means I deserve to be separated from Him, not only in this life, but for all of eternity. Unable to save ourselves. I can't do anything to fix it. Once I've messed it up, I can't fix it. It doesn't matter how good I am. It doesn't matter how generous I am. It doesn't matter how often I show up at church. It doesn't matter what I choose to do and what I abstain from. I cannot achieve salvation on my own. It's got to be the work and the gracious gift of God. And that's what He does. He provides His Son to be the help that we need. Now this week Summer Blast, we talked about three different claims that Jesus made while He was walking the earth. On Monday night, we talked about how He claimed to be the bread of life. And what He was talking about was saying that I am your sustenance. In the same way that you would eat physical bread to be able to exist and to have fuel and be able to live, I am your spiritual bread. If you want to have spiritual life, then you will partake of me. You will be in relationship with me and I will give you spiritual life. On Tuesday night, we talked about the claim where He said, I am the door to the sheep. And we went to great detail and length to talk about the sheep pen and how there would be walls all the way around except for one opening, and that's where the sheep would go through. At night, once they got all the sheep into the pen, the shepherd would lay down across that opening and would be the door so that no intruders could come in, that he would watch and would guard and make sure and would allow the ones that needed to come in to come in and who needed to stay out to stay out. And so what Jesus was saying is this, if you want to be in the fold, you come through me. You want to be a part of the family of God? It happens through me and through me alone. On Wednesday night, we looked about the claim where He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He makes this claim moments before He raises a guy named Lazarus back to life. And in a moment, pointing to what's going to happen in his life, when he lays down his life and 3 days later is resurrected back to life, defeating death, defeating grave, defeating sin. And what He was saying is this, if you want to have life, if you want to live forever, then choose me. That even if you, when you die in this physical life and this human body dies, you will live on in eternity with your spirit. And you'll be in eternity with God. You see, God doesn't just direct. He doesn't just tell us what to do. He supports us so that we can step. And one of the greatest opportunities we have to build bridges in the lives of other people is through support. That would be a good word to write down. Support. One of our roles as a follower of Jesus is to support those around us. And there are different ways that we do this. We do it through words of encouragement. We come alongside people and we say things like this. I see in you, fill in the blank. You did a really good job when this happened. I can totally see you doing this. They begin to loop you in and say, I think God's starting to be asking me to do this. He might be calling me to lead a small group. Yep, I could totally see that. You should definitely try. You should definitely be a part of that. I feel like God's calling me to start giving in this certain way. Do that. That's be obedient. Do what He's called you to do. Words of encouragement. Another one is gifts in the direction of the step. God's going to put people in your life and you're going to get a chance to give a gift to them to help them continue walking in the direction that God is leading them. One of the things I'm praying is that last week when Isaiah had his last Sunday here at Bridge City, and he got a chance for us, and we got to pray over him, we got a chance to help him move out, and I'm praying that as he left this building last Sunday, and as he drove out of the city on Thursday, headed to Kansas City, that he did so with an overwhelming sense that he's headed where he's supposed to be. Why? Because of the way we sent him out. Because of the way that we loved on him, the way we prayed for him, the way that we gave him notes and gave him gift cards and things, that he would walk out of here going, I'm headed in the right direction because God's people have supported me. They see it. They believe in it. They didn't say, well, if you have to. It's like, no, go and be obedient. We can give gifts to people that help them in their walk. We can also give help in the step. There are things that we can do along the way that we can help people continue to step in what God's given them. Sometimes it's a one-time help, and sometimes it's an ongoing help. We've been the beneficiaries of that at Bridge City. This summer, we've had three different churches who have come and taken a trip to help us do VBS and to do Summer Blast. All three of those churches have been doing ongoing help. They haven't. Some churches come and they do a one-time thing, and that's fine. But there's something special about that ongoing. There's a level of deepness that happens in that relationship because over time and each summer, well, it was funny this week, we were talking about how this church from Glenville in Georgia, they come and they've come three summers in a row and they've come the same week every summer. So they're always here for my birthday. And so the youth pastor was like, at this point, I have to come to celebrate your birthday. Like we have to, it'd be weird not to be here. And he's joking, but it was kind of real. Like it's like, yeah, because we've built a relationship and there's a way that we can help. And both are required. There's times where you're just going to help somebody one time, and that's what God had for you to do. There's going to be some times where you're going to help somebody multiple times, and both are required. Thankfully, God doesn't just direct us to step, but He also supports our step as well with words of encouragement, with gifts in the direction of the step, with help in the step, and with those deepening relationships. So as we draw to a close this morning, I want to remind us that God knows what He's doing when He gives you your next instruction and your next step. He knows exactly what He's doing. Us knowing what He's doing is not a requirement for stepping. All that matters is that He knows. And as long as He knows, then we can step and we can trust and we can follow Him. And God has provided everything that we need for salvation. He's provided everything that we need to walk in obedience. That includes the simple and the mundane. It includes the pleasant and the pain. It includes the normal and the wild. It includes the adult and the child. It includes the future and it includes today. It includes what God has said. And it includes what God will say. So let's be a people who are regularly stepping into what God wants to do next. Let's pray together.